been talking this morning about the book of Philemon, the letter written from Paul to Philemon. And as I was studying through this and thinking about it, I certainly was thinking about the fact that as we look at these people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we look at their lives, certainly I would hope that each one of us would say, well, there's a person I would like to be. If God was going to put my name in there, I would like that to be said about me. As I was thinking about this, you know, just using Roger Jr., he does our website, and I'm so appreciative of that because I couldn't do our website. At some point, maybe 20 years down the road, I would get to the point where I could do part of the website, but you'd be going, that's not really good. I remember when Roger did that. But it's good enough that Mike was talking about they listened to some lessons that were on there. Now, that's an amazing thing that can be done, but it can only be done because he knows how to do that. When I was talking to Cody, and I know Glennon was too, he said, well, is there anything we can do for the family while you're gone? He said, I'm not really concerned about that because Tex can take care of it. So that's the confidence that Cody has in him. He knows that if something gets torn up, that you call him and he can come and fix it. Now that's the way things should be. That says a lot, doesn't it, about us when someone can say things like that? As I was thinking about this, though, of all the things that we would want to be said, is it's wonderful that they have those abilities and those great capabilities, as all of us have some of those in this audience. And I could mention everyone in this room and tell you something about you that I have observed that I appreciate so much, every one of you. And I'm amazed at that. But I'll tell you what I appreciate the most is the zeal and the desire to do what, not only do what God says, but to make sure that I do what God says. There's nothing in my life that's more important than that to me. So we do miss some folks today. We miss Judy. Obviously, Roger needs her right there beside of him. We do miss Mark, and we do miss Gary. And as I go around the room and I think of others, Vicky's not here with us today. I miss her. And if I've missed any others, oh, yeah, Cody. He's gone too, isn't he? Now, the reason I left Cody to last is because we've had an opportunity to read the emails, and another friend of ours is over there at this time, John Haynes. And if John Haynes sent me the text, because he forgot to put on there that it was him sending it, he said this morning that he had got to meet Cody and what a small world it is and how appreciative he is. But it is an amazing thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to be a Cody that can go to another country and preach God's Word and teach others, and spend some time with them? Because you see, when we think about this, that's really what this book is about. This book is about true hospitality. Whether we're here or we're somewhere else, we still show hospitality. We still show a love for all of the brethren. We still show a forgiving attitude because we would want others to be forgiven just like we were. So as we go through this, we see that as Paul introduces himself, he says he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He understands, as we talked about today, to be enslaved. Certainly he understands that he's been enslaved in two ways. One, freely, he was enslaved to Jesus Christ. But secondly, he's been enslaved because now he's imprisoned in Rome. And one of the letters that he wrote, I was back there looking it up because I was thinking it was in Philippians 1, and me and my mind doesn't always work right all the time, but it's actually found in Philippians 4, in which he says that many that were in Caesar's household are now Christians. And that is an amazing thing. And I don't believe that they were, I think he was using Caesar's household in the sense of, you know, all the people that worked there and did things there. He had the courage to teach them while being imprisoned. The number one thing in life is to live the way we should, to obey God and to teach others. When we look at this and we think about these people that are mentioned here, you can see that every one of them had this. As he writes about himself and he writes about Timothy, we know from how much he appreciated Timothy being there with him. Later, Timothy would leave. And by the time he wrote 2 Timothy, when he's imprisoned again, certainly Timothy is not with him anymore. And it is a lonesome thing for him, except he says, you know what? Although there was no one else with him, he said, Jesus Christ has always been with me, and he stood beside me through everything that I've ever gone through, and I know he'll deliver me from every evil. There's a confidence there and a strength in Paul. And as Paul writes this, he talks to Philemon, our beloved friend. He had a closeness to Philemon when he had been at Colossae, if that's where he met him. He had a closeness to him because he was a brother in Christ. It is a special, as we talked about honor, honor to be given to those especially that are there. And fellow laborer. He's letting it be known that he's a worker. Not just a worker, but he's talking about in spiritual matters. He's a worker in the vineyard. He's a person that you could look to that was there to do whatever was needed to be done. As we already talked about, he certainly seems to be along with his wife. If Appia is his wife and Archippus is his son, then you find the church in your house. And he's talking about all of them, so it would seem that they're all in the same household. There are people, family, working hard in the kingdom. When you looked at their family, you could say, that's folks that are doing what they need to be doing. They are together in what they're doing. And they certainly love what they're doing. But he goes on to talk about something that is so important to us. How many times have we seen him address people and say, grace to you? It is a theme throughout the New Testament. We need the grace of God. At our very best, we need the grace of God. At our very worst, we need the grace of God. Every moment in our life, we need the unmerited favor of God in our lives. We not only need that, but he says peace from God. True peace only comes from one way. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding only comes when we settle things with God. Because God's already made it possible for us to do that. He's already given up His Son so that we might have peace with Him. True peace only comes when we have peace with God. And that's exactly what he's talking about when he's talking about that peace that comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes into some thanksgiving. Paul mentions this so many times about prayer and how important it is in his life and how many times he wants to mention people in his prayers. And when we think about this, he said, I make mention of you always in my prayers. I thought, how long of a prayer did Paul have? He prayed always. You can see that in his life. You can just picture Paul walking down and talking to God as he goes along. You can picture him constantly talking to his father. You can see him in that prison spending his time talking to God. But he wasn't just concerned about his own welfare. In his prayers, he's concerned about the welfare of all others. He is continuing to mention this man that he's met. We don't know how much time he spent with him. We know that he certainly knew about the guest room there. So he knew that this was a man who would take care of him if he showed up. He didn't doubt that Philemon would take care of him. He knew he would. And when you think about this, he said, I make mention of you. And he says, I want you to know something. You're the person, Philemon, that I hear about. I've heard about you as well. Not only have I observed it with my own eyes, but I hear of your great love and your faith. How many people that would know me, if you went up to them, would say that? Doesn't that put it in perspective? Here's a man that what was people saying about him, they knew about his great love and his faith. And what is his love? His love is for God. His love is for his fellow man. His love is where it needs to be. He loves the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his mind. And the second's likened to it. He loves his neighbor as himself. It's observable in his life. It's seen in his life. And his tremendous faith is there because he will do what he needs to do because he believes God will take care of everything else. As I said not too long ago, 99.999999% of the work's already done by God. He gives us so little to do in return. And our faith says, we believe God can do it. And I've got my trust there. And I believe at the end I'll receive the reward. But here's where he has it. The love and faith, didn't I just say this? Love the Lord thy God toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And where else? And toward all the saints. That's what he prays to God about and thanks God for. Aren't you thankful? Don't you thank God every day for those people in your life that strengthen you, that have been there in your past, that continue to be there for you? And then in this prayer, he prays for something. He prays for the effective sharing of Philemon's faith. He already knew that Philemon was sharing his faith with others. He already knew that Philemon was talking about his salvation to others. He already knew that, and he wanted it to be effective. And you think, well, now wait, isn't that our responsibility? No. Paul would say, like in Ephesians 6, that an effective door would be opened to him. He knew that he needed God's help in this. There's nothing wrong in praying to God for those opportunities. Have you ever prayed for opportunity, and then when it came, you didn't take advantage of it? Have you ever prayed for those times, and then when they came, you weren't prepared? But have you ever prayed for those opportunities, and they came, and you could hardly wait, and you were prepared and did what you needed to do? That's what he's asking for. He's asking them for an acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That it would be clearly seen. That others could know and want the same thing that Philemon has. When I said this lesson is very personal, when I look at this lesson and I think about this, perfect way, isn't it, to write the letter? You're starting out, you know what you're going to eventually have to talk about. You know that you're going to have to say something. That's why we see God's hand in this. You know that the way to approach people is not to come up and go, Abe, you are the dumbest person I have ever met in my life. And with that said, let me straighten you out on something. You already got my attention, but probably not in the way you really wanted. Now, if I'm wise, I'll still listen to you. Because if you really feel that way about me, then I need to listen. But what's the way to do it? The way to do it is a way that we don't always use. He tells Philemon, let me tell you how much I know about you. I'm going to honestly tell you you're a good person. I'm going to honestly tell you you are trying so hard to work in the kingdom. I'm going to honestly tell you that others know that about you. And I'm going to honestly tell you that I appreciate that so much. And I believe it so much that I talk to God about it. That's amazing. Why? Because the next things he's going to talk about is going to be different. You know, he talks about these things. He wants to that this will be effective so that he can have that great joy and consolation in your love. And not only could Paul and others have that, but the hearts of the saints could be refreshed. Because he has that great ability. Again, not everyone has that ability. There are some Christians that have it. There are other Christians that don't have it to quite the same degree. If we've got it, use it. Because it meant God gave it, means God gave it to us. But now the plea comes. Now, Philemon, I've got something to talk to you about. I could, Philemon, command you to do this. I could give you what God has said. I could tell you specifically, you better do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it the way we can go up to people and we can tell them this is what God says you need to do. Or we can go up to people with an appeal and say, God would love for you to do this because He wants to save you. A difference in approach. So the appeal is this. I'm not going to do it for my authority in Christ because after all, I'm an apostle and He delivers the word to me and this is what He would want you to do. Instead, I want to appeal to something. First, love. For love's sake, I want to ask you to do something. Because see, I know Philemon, you're the kind that loves everyone. You're the kind that has shown that love to all your brethren. You're that kind, you have shown that love for Jesus Christ in your life. And so therefore, I want to give you another thing. I want to do like Mike Hummer did this morning in his prayer, praying for the elderly, and then said that he prayed that Abe Martin would do a good job. So us elderly people, we appeal to people on the basis of our age. We've been there, done that. And what Paul says, I'm not young anymore. I've been beat up. I'm living in a prison. I'm begging you. Philemon, you got your freedom. You've got everything going for you. And here I am. I'm old. Please. Please let me appeal to you as someone older that understands and knows. And then the next thing he says, as I've said, I'm imprisoned. I am living in a box, a cell, if you will. Now, this was his own hired house at this time. But he's still locked in those, if you will, those four walls. He can't just have his freedom. Philemon, you've got yours. You can make decisions. You can do what you want to do. But from my standpoint, I can't. So I am pleading to you from this place. As he goes on with this, he starts pleading then for Onesimus. And he says here, there's something I want to do. I want to tell you about my son Onesimus. Can you imagine picking up this letter? You don't know what he's going to talk about. You read it, and as you're going down, the first mention that he makes of your slave is the fact that he's my son. He's my son in the faith. Oh, wouldn't that touch your heart? Can you imagine if Philemon had no idea at this point where Onesimus is? And to get this letter and now realize that his slave, Paul's calling him his son. His son. Paul didn't use that too many times, as we've talked about. He talks about Timothy being his son, Titus being his son. But as we look at this, this is a precious thing from Paul the aged. My son, Onesimus. My son in the faith. When he had taught. Basically, he's saying to Philemon, I taught him. He came here, and I told him about how he could have freedom from his sins, which is more important than his personal freedom. And he became a Christian. I have begotten him while in my chains. In other words, can you understand this, Philemon? This man came to me. Here I am, not free. He wasn't free. But I taught him about freedom, and he accepted it and became a Christian. He was once unprofitable. Think about that for a moment. When we look back at our lives, to be unprofitable for God is a terrible thing to say. But at one point in his life, Onesimus was an unprofitable person. But now, he's profitable, he said, both to me and to you. He can bring you greater than what he did before. He may have served you in the flesh before, but now he can serve you in the Spirit. What a wonderful thing. He says, now, I want to talk about his return. I've told you about what he is now. I've told you about who he is now. Now I'm going to send him back. And so there's some things we need to talk about, Philemon. Philemon, I'm sending him back as if he's my own heart. People use language sometimes in which they will say, it broke my heart. They will say things like, I gave my love with all my heart. What are we saying? We're saying that from the emotions in our mind, we have extended everything that we have to someone. And in return, they extended nothing back. And it broke our heart because we had given up so much emotionally for them. He says, he's my heart. Don't break it. Please. Understand the importance of who he is. Understand he's much greater than what he was. He said, not just that, but understand this as well. As one I could have kept with me. One I wished I had with me so I can send him back to you knowing what he'll do for you. As one who had been a servant to Paul, as minister to Paul, he says. I wanted to keep him because he could have actually ministered to me on your behalf. You think this isn't wisdom in appealing to someone and talking about our relationships and how important they are? But he said, I can't keep him. I didn't have your consent, and so I knew the right thing to do was to send him back. But he said, here's the thing. I want you to receive him. This good deed by me, not by compulsion, but as it were, voluntarily. And he makes a point. The truth is, perhaps he departed for a while. In other words, let's talk about the providence of God for a moment, Philemon. Do you see God's hand in this? He says, Philemon, maybe he departed from you for a while. You might receive him forever. Have you ever seen that in life? Have you ever noticed things like this in life where you can see God's providence at work in your life? Well, this is God's providence at work. But he said, I don't want you to receive him back as a slave, just a slave anymore. I want you to receive him back as a beloved brother. Now, why is all this important? This is important because we suddenly see that regardless of a circumstance as a person's physical life, again, when they become a Christian, there's equality in Christ. Salvation is the same. He says he wants him to be that way both in the flesh and in the Lord. And then he says, as if you were just receiving me. And he said, this is a beautiful thing. Paul is one of those people that never elevated himself, never looked at himself. At times he would talk about when people were putting him down and the Holy Spirit would have him to write about his background. And he would say what he went through for God. But he always said that he gloried in God, not in himself. But when you look at this, verse 17, one of those things, if you count me as a partner. You see, we're all partners in the work of the Lord. We're all together in it. We're all in fellowship together in the same work. And when we're in that same work, whether a slave or a free man, it's the same thing. And then he says, now I realize, just like if you were supposed to be at work and you left for a month and didn't tell your boss where you were, and you went back and you told your employer, you said, I'm back. Your employer might say, no, you're not. And they would have that right, would they not? Because you didn't tell them why you were leaving. You didn't say anything about it. You didn't ask for permission. Basically, a debt is owed. You'll have to make up that time. If you want to do this, there's some things now that you're going to have to do to show me you're going to be a good employee. Would they have that right, do you think? I think so. But you know what he says to Philemon? When he comes back to you, I know there's a debt. He said, put it on my account. Now you think about this. Here is a poor, if you will, physically poor gospel preacher who has absolutely nothing. Right? It's not true. Paul wants it to be known that in reality he has all the riches in Christ Jesus. That he has all the blessings in the heavenlies. Isn't that what he's already said in Ephesians 2? He has them all. That he has every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So how can he repay Philemon? Is he saying, I'll give you some money, Philemon, because I know he owes you big time? No. He's saying, I can repay in ways you don't understand. He said, but let me go further than that with you, Philemon. Truth is, Philemon, you owe me. This is the first time in this letter where he puts things in perspective. If someone taught you the gospel, you owe them. What do I mean by that? You might never go back and repay them. What do you owe? You need to teach others the gospel. You owe to pass that on. You owe to say to someone, don't die in your sins. You need to let it actually affect you to know that people are dying in their sins. When we look at Philemon, we look at the fact that as he looked at Paul, he's free. He apparently has a lot of money. He apparently has life pretty good. He's got slaves. He's got people working for him. He's got a large household. And he looks at Paul in prison because he taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not because he was an evil man, not because he was doing things wrong, but because he was willing to teach. He ends up in prison, beaten, shipwrecked, going hungry because of his love of the truth. Not too many people in this room can say that they've gone through those same things. Matter of fact, I would venture to say none of us in this room can say we've gone through that. And when I think about that, thus he could say to Philemon, in reality, you owe me. So don't take it out on him. He said, do it for my sake. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand at this point. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me, even your own self besides. When I think about that and I think about his appeal to him, I think what a beautiful way to approach Philemon. And he knew Philemon would accept it very well. And he actually says, so let me have joy from you. Now, what has he just said? He said that Philemon is the type of person that brings that to other people. He says, Philemon is that type of person who is a refreshing person. So he says, so refresh my heart in the Lord. We're back to where he started. And what he's trying to say to him is, this basically will make my day. If you'll just accept him back as a brother, not and just forget it, all the debt that he owes. Now, how could he ask that of him? Because here's the problem. We all owe the debt. We owe the debt for our sins. We can't pay it. It was paid on our behalf by Jesus Christ. But to accept that grace, there are things we have to do. So he's asking Philemon, have forgiveness in your heart, just like God had forgiveness in his heart toward you, and understand and know. But he has some confidence. He says, I don't doubt for a minute, Philemon, that you will obey. I know for a fact that you're that type of person. I, as a matter of fact, know that you will do even more. That you'll not only accept him back, but you'll probably do even more than that. I just know you, Philemon. And so again, his confidence in Philemon, and understanding and knowing that Philemon would do his best to do what God would want him to do. And so what do we find in the conclusion of this? Well, in the conclusion of this, he says, I want to visit you. I'm going to be getting out of prison. I'm sure of that. I have trust in God, and I believe it'll happen. Now, what's he basing that on? I have told you before, Paul was a praying man. Paul had complete confidence and faith in God. Paul had confidence in his prayers. But in this one, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. Philemon, I know you're praying for me. I've been praying for you, but I know you've been praying for me. So as a result of that, I'm making a request right now. Have a guest room ready for me. When I get there, I'm going to stay with you. And then his final greetings are from some of the people that were there. We talked about Epaphras, who was a wonderful man that was discussed in the book of Colossians. And as we look at him, we think about him, certainly a worker of the kingdom, and some of the others that we have talked about before that were workers in the kingdom. And as I've said before, Demas is mentioned several times in a good way, and then by the time we get to 2 Timothy, Demas has forsaken me. So what do we find about these people? Well, we find that there's a fellow prisoner. We find that they're fellow laborers. Do you notice that Paul never elevates himself above them? Fellow prisoner, fellow laborers. We're all working in the kingdom. There is none of us greater in the kingdom or lesser in the kingdom. We're all workers in the kingdom in fellowship together. This is written to Philemon to remind him of one thing. Keep on keeping on. Don't let something get in your way. Don't let the fact that Onesimus left you get in your way of doing what's right. Because I know you will. Philemon had great love. He had exemplary hospitality. If you were going to put up one that was a hospitable person, he would be the one. And his wife. His superb ability to accept others as they are. Philemon didn't have a problem with this. And so Paul didn't want him to extend that and have a problem with Onesimus. So he's encouraged to receive him as if he were just receiving Paul. What a beautiful lesson for us. I don't know of any other lesson we could teach from God's Word that would teach the same thing, that regardless of who they were, Paul was willing to teach them and accept them as his sons, daughters, and brothers in Christ. There was no person that Paul wouldn't accept if they did what God wanted them to do. He wants Philemon and us to do the same. He's not asking us to do anything different than what he did. He's not asking us to do anything different than what Christ did. Question. Are you in need of Christ's blood today? Well, it's already been shed. He's already sacrificed himself on the cross for your sins. He's already given himself up for you. He's done everything that he can do, and all he asks in return is accept him in faith. Just believe that he's Christ, the Son of the living God. Confess him as that. Repent and be baptized so that your sins are forgiven. And as a Christian, remain faithful, continually checking our lives just like Paul was doing with this, and turning from sin, confessing our sin, and praying for forgiveness. Please, today, obey. We're going to stand and sing a song. If you have any needs, we would be happy to assist you in any way we can or at all.